KSTL, the voice of all the arts. KNOU, HD2 St. Louis.
And right before the break, we wrapped up the 8 o'clock hour this morning with a request. As I said, we try to do as many requests as we can on Friday mornings. They sort of stack up over the week, and we jam them all in on Friday mornings. I shouldn't use that word, I suppose. We try to get as many in as possible. Beth in Webster Groves, thank you so much. It sounded good on this end. I hope you enjoyed it. Aram Khachaturian's Guyane from the Ballet Suite with the Philharmonia Orchestra. It's 2 minutes after 9 o'clock. We've dropped a couple of degrees, 77 degrees, looking for, believe it or not, some sunshine today after the rain clears out, and a high to 92. Time for Friday Morning with the Arts. And this morning we have the great good fortune to welcome two young ladies into the studio, Debbie Lennon and Donna Weinsting. And they are starring in a new production, the musical version of Grey
Gardens.
Grey Gardens, right? It's, can you tell it's Friday? Oh boy, what a week. Anyway, Debbie, Donna, welcome to the Radio Arts Foundation of St. Louis. It's so good to see you.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm going to get you a little closer to that mic. There you go. And you're Debbie and you're Donna.
Correct.
Yes. So your Friday morning D's. Brain is working.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. It should be. It's been up early, long enough.
We're a mother and daughter act.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a relative act in this, in the musical.
Yes, we are, mother and daughter.
And, of course, a lot of folks might remember the movie, and that was with Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange.
Well,
right?
It was actually based on the Maisels documentary in 1975, and they filmed these incredible women. And then, of course, a musical came out of that first, and then the HBO special.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So let's start from the very beginning. You play an aunt and a cousin to Jackie Kennedy Onassis.
Correct. Yes.
So royalty of sorts, American royalty of sorts.
Right.
But it's sort of downtrodden. Is that a good word?
Yes, downtrodden, hoarders, use whatever term you want to use.
Yeah.
They were royalty in the 19... Our play starts in the 1940s, in 1941, when they still had money, when they were glamorous, and...
living in the Hamptons.
Living in the Hamptons, yes. And everyone was visiting them, the Gettys, but what happens is that Mr. Beale decides to divorce his wife. And when he does, and then the father of Mrs. Beale kind of disowns her, things start going downhill. And then we pick it up again after the glorious, glamorous days in 1975, when it is covered with weeds and vines, and these two women are living with practically no plumbing and in filth and garbage. Cats, raccoons in the attic.
I'll bet a lot of stacks of newspapers, too.
Oh, yes. Stacks of everything.
Why does that always go along with the picture? Right. Stacks of old newspapers. And National Geographic's probably, too.
People are probably trying to hold on to time,
right.
You know? I think we know people like that all around us. We always have the crazy relatives that are always holding on to things.
Yeah.
It's a glorious musical. It has fabulous music in it. And I have to gush just a moment. Debbie, who plays Little Edie. I play Big Edie. Really nutcase. But anyway, she carries the show for 2 hours, from young to a little bit middle-aged, and fabulous. Oh, my gosh. The music is incredible. She has about 3,000 costume changes.
Quite a few. It's interesting because...
Well, a girl can like that.
Well,
unless it's rushed, like I'm sure it is.
Well, unless you have to wear some of the costumes she has to wear in the crazy years.
Right. A Little Edie in later years. She was very eccentric in the way she dressed. I mean, you know, a lot of people, she became a fashion icon just because of the way she dressed. But what's really wonderful about this musical is, as Donna was saying, the first act is based in 1941. It was hard to sort of create a storyline from a documentary perspective, so they wanted to create...
It was originally shot as a documentary,
wasn't it? That's
correct,
in 1975 by the Maisels brothers, Albert and David Maisels. But they wanted to create a through line. So they were really reluctant in the beginning. Doug Wright was the playwright. And Scott Frankel and Michael Corey, composer, lyricist. And they really wanted to do this, but it was like how to make some coherency from this documentary. So they created a first act based in 1941, their heyday. And then it goes from riches to rags. And then 30 years later to this dilapidated mansion and 1975. And in the first act, I play Big Edie. Donna's
role. Yeah, she plays me as a middle-aged, like 45-year-old woman.
Yeah, she's about 47, and she's a singer, and they are always singing and dancing around the house.
Right.
And,
we have a wonderful cast. Madeline Purchase plays Debbie's role in the 40s, the one that she ages into in the second act.
And, my daughter.
She's a student at Webster University, and with a glorious voice. And young Joe Kennedy Jr. is played by Will Bonfiglio. Sorry, Will. Will Bonfiglio.
Will won't mind.
And Terry Meadows plays her pianist, who is her constant companion. It's just a fabulous cast.
Tom Murray
plays her
father. Plays my father.
Our father.
Major Bouvier. Yes.
Major Bouvier. And there are two young girls, Carter and Phoebe, who play the young Kennedys, Bouviers.
Jackie and Lee.
Okay. And our director, Anna Maria Pellegi, is...
Extraordinary.
She pulled this together. We had a 3-week rehearsal period, and it's a very complicated musical with a complicated set and a complicated set of costume changes that Debbie has to make.
The story calls for some character development
that's pretty darn complicated,
too.
I think this piece not only requires you to be a marvelous musician and have great singing chops, but to be a gifted actress, actor, as well.
Yeah, it's not just about the song. It's so deep emotionally.
Oh my gosh, there are so many layers. These characters are so compelling. It's just been a joy to sort of explore and torturous, really.
Oh, let's call a spade a spade.
Right.
But torturous in a fabulous way. And our musical director, Neil Richardson, has guided us along. Everybody has done a marvelous job and been extremely patient, especially with me. I am not a trained singer. Debbie is. That's how she makes her living. She is a trained singer. She teaches it. And so the musical part of that, even though it's very complicated, came easily to her. It does not come easily to me. I am an actor who sings a little.
But Donna sings so beautifully. And these songs are so... just the way they were written, I mean, they just capture the style of each character, too.
And of each time period, too.
Absolutely. And what I think is so special about the music is it's not only evokes memory, but it's transportative in a way that film score can be. It actually puts you in the place. And it encompasses music from the Great American Songbook styles. Mm-hmm. You hear kind of military and war anthems in some of these songs, and then contemporary musical theater, too, which evokes the film score that I was talking about later on in the second act.
Debbie Lennon, she plays Little Edie with Donna Weinsting, who plays Big Edie in the new production of Grey Gardens, the musical. It opens tonight. It's at the Wohl Studio Theater at the J on Millstone Campus Drive. We're going to talk more with our two Edies in just a minute. It's Friday Morning with the Arts at the Radio Arts Foundation. Friday Morning with the Arts at the Radio Arts Foundation and the music of Verdi, performed there by a gentleman who we actually had a chance to meet, Martinus Levikas. He is an accordion player. He was touring and was in our studios a couple of years ago. A wonderful young gentleman. 9:14 now, Friday Morning with the Arts. I'm Jim Doyle. Our guest in studio this morning, Debbie Lennon. She plays Little Edie. Donna Weinsting plays Big Edie in the new production of Grey Gardens, the musical. Tony Award-winning musical at the Wohl Studio Theater. It opens tonight and runs through the 30th of July. That's over at the J. And wanted to know what brought you to this. Debbie, you've been acting for years on and off, singing for a living, and there are people who will say, "Well, how do you get by with that in St. Louis?" And you know, we've learned over the years that it's a small group of actors and performers in St. Louis. It's growing all the time, I think, but it's always interesting to hear the history of how did you get here? How did you start out?
Well, I grew up in my parents moved to Webster Groves, so I grew up in Webster Groves, and thank God the family priest had centered in Narynx, and that's where my musical life began, and went on to Fontbonne, and worked at the Muni, and sang with the St. Louis Symphony Chorus, and now I'm a teacher at Webster University. I head up the Jazz Voice program there. But I think the most wonderful thing is that I was exposed to so much music, and I was able to facilitate in a lot of different styles very successfully, whether it was musical theater, classical music, or jazz. And so I've been able to make my living and keep going, whether it was, you know, concertizing or performing in theatrical pieces or teaching. So it's been a wonderful life. It's been really a wonderful life.
Well, you're certainly at the right spot at Webster. I mean, Webster has kept the arts alive in many ways in its own right.
You know,
people, we talk about Grand Center now, which is such a wonderful center for the arts, and there's so much going on. And then out in Webster, you have Webster University, where there's a whole culture of art that's happening every day. And sometimes we don't hear about it. Unless we go to opera theater or go to a concert,
you know?
Right. Or the Repertory Theater, which is based.
In and the Rep is it's. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more going on, and it is. It's a cultural center, and
world-renowned theatrical program.
Their conservatory, is wonderful. And if you ever get a chance, you should pay attention to their student productions, which are
at the
Repertory Theater, and will vie any professional theater you see. They're fabulous, and at a probably reduced price too.
Yeah. Outstanding music department too, and it's just gotten better and better. And then dance department, art department.
Right.
So Debbie, that's you sort of in a nutshell. Donna, I have a feeling you've got quite a story behind you too.
Well, it's not quite a story. It's just I've been doing theater for a long, long time, and I love it. I started in it when I was younger, and
also
from St. Louis, and I'm married, and I had children, and they didn't want Mama to leave, and so I gave up theater for 30 years. And after you've not been in theater for 30 years, you sort of think, that's gone. That was the past.
And well, then, I would think you tend to doubt yourself a little bit.
Well,
can I do it again?
Of course. Well, and you know, I'd skipped all the wonderful ingenue years, and I had gone into character years, and so, but I was sitting at home by myself one night. This was about 20 years ago, I guess, 25 maybe. And I thought, why don't I try theater again? So I opened up the Post-Dispatch, and I looked under auditions. They used to print them in the Post-Dispatch. Mm-hmm. They don't anymore. And I saw something that I thought I might like to do, and I went, and I was cast, and I haven't stopped since.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's been
marvelous.
What a wonderful ride it's been. I have met the most wonderful people. The theater community is a generous, giving, loving community. And you might think there's a lot of backstabbing and jealousy, but there isn't.
No, everybody
is always happy for everybody else. You go to an audition and you see all the people that you admire and you love, and you're up against them. And sometimes you get the role, and sometimes they get the role. And it's never, oh, I would have been better than that. I always go to the theater after I've lost a role to see the other people, and I go, oh, thank God they got it. Look how wonderful they are. I couldn't have done that.
You know, it's really true, the theater. And I think this is probably generally true. You hear from time to time about the community in New York, for example, or Chicago. But it's really very, I mean, it's very obvious in St. Louis. I mean, we have actors come through here all the time, and you never hear any ill will about a company and a lot of people, a lot of our listeners, I might use as an example, don't appreciate the fact that you can go out just about every night of the week and see fresh new theater.
Yes.
And wonderful
yes.
productions
St. Louis
in this town.
Is
booming.
Oh, yes. There is so much. And people don't. Here's a question I get a lot of times. If you meet someone that doesn't know what you do and they say, oh, well, what do you do? And you say, I'm an actor. And they say, oh. Have you been at the Fox? And I go, no. Those are all touring
what
shows.
What movies did I see you in?
Right, right. But people don't realize the Fox is all touring shows from out of town.
Right.
Those are not local actors. So, no, I haven't been at the Fox. But I've been at the Repertory Theater and I've been at regional theaters. So right. If you want to see good theater, it's everywhere in St. Louis. You should really go
There's
out so and see
There's so many opportunities to work.
Yeah, so many opportunities
town.
To
I mean,
work.
You think you... And I think a lot of it is you have to leave St. Louis to become successful, but I've found my life to be so bountiful here in the arts. I've always been able to thrive, and that is just so special to me about this town.
And the theater yeah. companies are very supportive and genuine. I must say that the company that's producing this, Max and Louis Productions, mm-hmm. they have spared no expense, and they have gotten the best they can to help us along. I mean, our set designer, Duncey Dye, is, oh my gosh, it's incredible. Again, our director, Anna Maria Paligi, and our musical director, Neil Richardson, they are just the top of the game, and they hire great costumers. They do whatever it takes to put on a production that they can be proud of and that we can be proud of.
Our guest this morning, Debbie Lennon. She's Little Edie. Donna Weinsting is Big Edie. Bouvier Beal, full
yes.
names.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we know you as Edie now. Both of you. The double Edies showed up at the Radio Arts Foundation this morning. And they are starring in a show that opens tonight, Grey Gardens, the musical. We'll talk more about the musical itself and how you might go see it in just a minute. It's Friday Morning with the Arts at the Radio Arts Foundation.
Thank you.
Music of George Gershwin, Embraceable You, the Five Browns performing there at the Radio Arts Foundation, Friday morning with the arts. And I was just imagining that even though the music in the new play or musical Grey Gardens is all original, it's it probably has a Gershwin-esque feel to it.
Am I right or wrong? The first act is modeled after the Great American Songbook. These women loved to sing and dance, as Donna was saying. I mean, that's all they did around their house, and they had parties.
In their dilapidated mansion.
No.
This is early on.
This is in the 40s. Okay. This is the first act, and it's set in, it's a compressed event in one day. It's built around a little Edie's engagement and how the mother derails completely. Not to give anything away. No. But yeah. So it's wonderful music. It's just, it evokes all those memories of the Great American Songbook. And then the second act is as I was telling you, it has that feeling of film score in it, like the movies Rebecca and Wuthering Heights and even Alfred Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. But it's got more of a contemporary flavor to it.
I have to pause just a moment here, and these two young ladies who are with us this morning, Debbie and Donna, they're up to no good, I have to tell you. Because you're listening via the radio, dear listener, you can't see any of what's going on with the facial expressions and the twinkles in the eyes. These two are up to no good.
We've been up all night.
Oh, you had your premiere last night.
Wasn't actually. Tonight is opening night.
Tonight's opening night.
Last night was a final dress, but we had an audience. And
it was wonderful.
And it's so great. If you've ever done, when you do a show, you rehearse and you try to get it right and you feel like you're really on the right track, but you're at that point where I've got to know what an audience thinks. I need an audience to see where they're going to laugh or where they're going to gasp or whatever they're going to do. And that is the best feelings, to get that first audience under your belt and go, yeah, they liked that part.
That's right, because in the second act where Donna and I are featured as mother and daughter later, in the second act where Donna and I are featured later in the 70s from the documentary, we break the fourth wall. So it's almost as if we are talking to the Maisels and we're using the audience as the Maisels. And so it's really dependent on the response of the audience.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have an audience last night just to feel that energy and how things are working and what we need to keep crafting.
Oh, that spot didn't work.
Well.
See what I mean? They're up to something. And you're going to have to go to the theater to see them, because I think this sounds like a really fun production.
Oh, it's such a special show. It is really...
It is fun. There's lots of laughter. There's lots of singing. There's lots of dancing. But there are tears also.
Oh,
yes.
It's heart-wrenching.
Sometimes it just breaks your heart, yeah. Because these were real people, even though you want to make caricatures of them because of the bizarre way their life turned out, they were real people. And they had hopes and dreams. And that's really what made the second act happen in a way, is Big Edie wanted to be a star so bad, and that just never happened. She tried to make it happen in the 40s in her own home. She had her own accompanist that lived in the house that she sang with, that he composed songs for her, and it just never happened.
And, you know, at the time, socialites, that lifestyle, the life of a bohemian life, was sort of looked down upon. It was really, really viewed horribly, and the men in their lives just sort of quashed their dreams. So they sort of had big holes in their life that they were constantly trying to fill, and that's probably why a lot of these things happen, just trying to fill the holes.
I heard someone describe it as a portrait of the rich and useless, which is a little demeaning, actually, because as you said, Donna, they wanted things. It wasn't like they were just sitting back eating bonbons and...
No, and I think that might be an accurate description, because I think they did feel rich and useless. She wanted to be a singer. She wanted to be on the stage.
She had aspirations.
As we do, as Debbie and I do. But they were socialites. They were the cream of society, and they couldn't do that. My goodness, that would be
looked down upon
right. and degrading for their women.
That's right.
Now, you've got to understand, this was a different time, and Joe Kennedy Jr. was destined to become president, and of course he died in the war, but
that was little Edie's intended.
Right. The men of the world could make the money, and they could go out, and they could live whatever life they wanted to live, but their women needed to be chaste and pure and always looked upon with dignity.
Playing the part.
Right, right, playing the part. And Edie just didn't fit that mold. And she was crushed eventually because she didn't fit that mold, and life kind of crashed around her.
Yeah. There's also an interesting rivalry between the mother and the daughter in the first act, where you start to see it really unfold and explode in the second act because of these hopes and dreams never being fulfilled. And it's just, it's so compelling, this piece. It really is. It has so many layers. It has so many layers.
It does. And the blocking for her is just incredible for everybody. I have got to brag just a little. I was the first one.
I wondered
one.
When that was going to come along.
It's got to happen. I was the very first to get her blocking perfect. I do the whole second act in bed. Oh, I do get up twice, but mostly.
And you sit in the chair.
I get up and sit in a chair. I was perfect.
Major movement there, huh?
Right.
I think that's tough, isn't it? Just to sort of stay still and not react to anything that's going on.
Yeah. it's something you need to see, because I even cook in bed. So, I mean, literally cook on a hot plate in bed.
Okay.
When are you coming to see it?
Yes, Jim, when are you coming?
Yeah. I'm wondering, okay, this is portraying a lifestyle. And we mentioned right at the top sort of American aristocracy, very privileged people. How much do the Kennedys weave into this story? You mentioned Joe Jr.
Well, the Kennedys were peripheral in a way, and I'm not even sure. Is that like historically
I think action? It was somebody that she had dated, but I right. think it was fictionalized for the first act that was her intended.
Yeah, I don't think they were ever formally engaged.
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
She was with the Gettys.
Right.
And
Gerald Getty was a suitor, and the Rockefellers.
The Rockefellers, yes. Little Edie dated many, many.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful rich men.
Yeah, that's right. But she never got married.
No.
Ever. Right.
And
I think she was sad about that, because she mentions it in the second act.
Oh, yeah.
She was sad.
But the mother
didn't
never, mother didn't want to be alone.
Mother did not. She was a very demanding mother, and she didn't want to be alone. And little Edie was kind of a nutcase. So she was
to put it
easy,
simply.
She was easy to manipulate.
Right.
They are the two stars of the new production of Grey Gardens, the musical. It opens tonight at the Wohl Studio Theater at the JCC on Millstone Campus Drive. We'll give you some info on how you can pick up tickets. They are the Little Edie Beale and the Big Edie Bouvet Beale. And the show runs through the 30th of July. And again, we'll give you more information on how you can get tickets to it. I think we all need to see this play based on your humor and your delight this morning.
Thank you.
It's Friday Morning with the Arts at the Radio Arts Foundation.
Strange tears.
Music from Kiss Me Kate, Cole Porter's So In Love with Richard Heyman and his orchestra. It's 9:38, Friday morning with the Arts. More coming up on the play that opens tonight, Grey Gardens at the J.
Meet me at the Muni. In Forest Park.
Single tickets are on sale now for the Muni Spectacular 98th season. The season opens with a lavish production of The Wizard of Oz, the all-time American classic. Then 42nd Street, one of the boldest, brashest musicals in Broadway history, reminding us that Broadway dreams still come true. The Music Man, the slickest con man around, is headed our way, eager to make mischief and steal your heart. And enter the wacky world of Mel Brooks with Young Frankenstein. The movie comedy classic comes to life on stage. Followed by Mamma Mia, the worldwide mega hit showcasing 22 memorable ABBA hits, including The Dancing Queen. Next, the iconic Fiddler on the Roof, a musical that grows more resonant with every passing year. And the thrilling season finale, Aida, the timeless saga of forbidden love, featuring the soaring melodies of the one and only Elton John. Season tickets on sale now at the Muni box office and MetroTix.com. Or 314-534-1111. Make it a Muni summer. Speaking of great theater and great musicals, yes, the Music Man now showing at the Muni in Forest Park. And a great season over there. Congratulations to Mike Isaacson and the whole gang who are doing such a
good
job.
He's doing a wonderful job
since
he took over the Muni.
Yeah, right. Great guy, too. 9:40 now, and with us in studio this morning, Debbie Lennon. She plays Little Edie. Donna Weinstein plays Big Edie in the new production of Grey Gardens, the musical. Tony Award-winning, and my notes here say it became a cult classic in New York City on its recent run. And it has some history to it, which always makes for a good cult classic.
Yes.
And maybe we're going to start a new cult classic tradition here in St. Louis with the production, which opens tonight, once again, at the J. Wohl Studio Theater. And there's a lot of, we were talking off mic a little bit, there's a lot of fashion. You mentioned, Donna, that Debbie changes 3,000 times
yes.
over the course of
yes.
the production.
Not so much in the first act, but in the second act, it's just a revolving door. Backstage would be a play all in itself to see the amount of work that's going on and the people that are yanking things off of her and putting them on, and then her coming out as if she's just been resting and singing a song.
Well, and there are references, I take it, to some of the great designers. Aren't there like Calvin Klein and?
I don't think we
no.
do. I don't
not
think
we, in the play.
No,
no
not
in
the play.
The play.
Not in the play at all. We don't reference them. I don't even know if they were a part of their lives.
I don't think
in
so.
The 40s. You know, I don't think so. And then in the 70s, nobody would claim that they dressed these ladies.
No, but I think. Edie wanted to separate, little Edie wanted to separate from the way her mother dressed. So she sort of beat to her own drum, and she wore her skirts upside down, and she wore these wonderful scarves on her head. And she was just one of a kind, really one of a kind.
She wore her skirts upside down.
Yes. The revolutionary costume.
We don't know
the
why.
Costume of the day.
But in real life, that's what she did. If you ever have a moment, You must see the documentary made by the Maisels. It's called Grey Gardens, the documentary. And you'll look at it and you'll see that what we do in the second act is based completely on what was true and real. And you'll think, because in the play you'll think that's too bizarre. People weren't like that.
They went to a lot of trouble to replicate these
yes.
costumes.
Yes.
They really did.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And as I said, Debbie wears a pin on her costumes in the second act. Well, she wears in the first act too, but it is a pin that our producers, Stelly Seitman and Dee Kaplan, that they had purchased from a man in California who makes replicas of the exact pin that they wore in the documentary.
Hmm.
And I mean, every detail was looked into. We wanted to make this correct. Our producers wanted to make it correct.
I actually thought for a moment, Donna, that you were going to say sometime if you get a chance, try wearing your skirt upside down. I'm glad you didn't go there.
Don't knock it until you try it.
My kilt,
it looks kind of good, doesn't
it?
It's not so bad.
My kilt would never fit that way.
Hey, it looks a little like that because she wears it with these great big safety pins.
And, yeah, we pin it together and
with her girdle showing.
With my girdle showing, right.
Well, the show opens tonight at the Wohl Studio Theater. on Millstone Campus Drive at the J, Jewish Community Center. Debbie Lennon, Little Edie Beal, and Donna Weinstein playing Big Edie. And it was a pleasure talking with you, too.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much for having us.
Please
come and see us.
Oh, we're not going to miss this one, believe me.
And Max and Louie Productions.
Max and Louie Productions.
I highly suggest that you get your tickets now. It runs through the 30th, and you can get information. I believe you have a website that you can go to, or you have a...
It's Max and Louie Productions.
Max and Louie, L-O-U-I-E.
Correct.
And you'll get some information on the specific nights that it's running.
And you can get them through Brown Paper Tickets online, too.
Right.
But you could also go to the website of maxandlouieproductions.com and get all the information.
They'll handle all your box office needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
if for no other reason, just go to see these two, because there are other members in the cast, but these two will just charm you.
Oh, that's so sweet, but really and truly, we have an incredible
cast. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
Lovely people.
Thank you for having us here this
Hope
morning.
You have a wonderful run. We'll see you on stage at the Wool, and keep up the good work. Break a leg.
Thank you.
All right. Debbie Lennon and Donna Weinstein, starring in the new play, which opens tonight and runs through the 30th at the Wool Studio Theater at the J, Grey Gardens, the musical. It's 9:45 at the Radio Arts Foundation. Good morning.
Thank you.
the voice for all the arts in St. Louis, and the British pianist Catherine Stott at the piano there with Eric Satie's Je t'ai vu. 9:50 now, 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock, and a big thanks again to Debbie Lennon and Donna Weinsting playing the little and big Edie Bouvier-Beale in the new production of Grey Gardens, the musical. It opens tonight and runs through the 30th of July at the Wohl Studio Theater at the JCC on Millstone Campus Drive. Tickets, again, can be had through Brown Paper Tickets. You can also go to the website of the producers, Max and Louie, Max and Louie, L-O-U-I-E, for information on the play. It sounds like an absolute riot. Well, a little tears, a little laughter, a lot of laughter, and just about everything in between. It is Grey Gardens, the musical, opening tonight at the Wohl Theater.
Help support the arts and classical music in St. Louis by contributing to the Radio Arts Foundation. Learn how you can help at rafstl.org or call 314-881-3523. And thank you.
Making way for some sunshine finally this morning. We'll see sunshine today with a high around 92, partly cloudy, 72 overnight, sunny, and temps in the mid to upper 80s Saturday and Sunday. Right now, it is 81 outside our Clayton studios. I'm Jim Doyle. Kathy Lawton-Brown comes your way and keeps you company through the midday just after 10 o'clock. I'll leave you today with some Mozart. Make it a great day. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you.